Thank you. Well, it's Ted listening to the podcast, and it's really great, really, really great. And just want you to know that you missed my birthday recently, my 48th birthday. So that's okay. I'll let it slide. But I just want you to know that I appreciate your friendship and you sticking with me, even though I'm elderly and have saggy tits. And I just wanted to let you know. So thanks. Your fucking podcast is trash. Good day.
This week we are covering the topic of toxic couples.
Yes. Please don't be like these two couples. They're awful.
But before we get started, we are so excited because we received our first voice message.
Hey, Ted. How you doing? How's your 48th treating you, you fucker?
Yeah, we obviously have old people that listen to this.
I feel bad because he's in his 30s. I know that. I think he's maybe 35.
Oh, really? I thought he was older.
No. No. I was just being an asshole last time. For those of you tuning in, at the beginning of this episode, you listened to Ted's message where he absolutely loved that I said he was 47 years old.
Yeah, and he totally forgot to mention me, and it's like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah, it was Mariah's fault anyway. She's the one that brought up the age thing.
So, anyway, Ted, I'm no longer talking to you. Kayla is, but I'm not.
Let's see if we get a voice message from him apologizing.
Yeah, so if anyone else ever wants to be featured, you should also send us a voice message or reach out to us on Instagram, Twitter, email, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I love messages.
Yeah, we want to hear from you guys. Mm-hmm. All right, so I am going to be covering the murder of Cody Johnson.
RIP Cody.
So,
what? That was nice.
Was it?
Yeah. RIP is rest in peace.
He was murdered. Okay, mm-hmm. Just jumping straight into it. Anyway, mm-hmm. Jordan Lynn Graham was 22 years old and seemed like any other young, excited bride.
I hope not.
She was set to marry her sweetheart, Cody Lee Johnson, who was 25 years old. And so I have to do like a little disclaimer here because I really couldn't find much information on how the couple met, how he proposed, etc., any of that. And I really tried to look, but I couldn't find it.
Most likely just high school, since it said they were sweethearts.
Yeah. We do know that Jordan was previously a nanny, and that Cody's friends did not like Jordan.
Wah, wah. Red flag.
Yeah, that is a red flag. In fact, they tried to convince Cody not to propose to Jordan when they caught wind of his potential proposal.
Does it say why?
So Cameron Fredrickson, who was Cody's friend, told ABC News that he was wary of Jordan and the couple's relationship for some time. He said, quote, "I almost instantly thought Jordan knew something, did something, or was a part of what happened to Cody. When Cody told me he was going to propose to Jordan, I wasn't really supportive of it. I did have a conversation with him saying I think he should reconsider."
And if there's like, if it's just, like, that feeling and you don't have, like, any kind of, like, evidence of that, you definitely should fucking run.
Yeah, and I just feel like if all of your friends and family are like, hey, she might not be the one for you, you know, I would kind of be the person at first to be like, oh, fuck off, I'll do whatever. But I also think that at some point you should take a step back and evaluate what red flags they're seeing that you're missing.
Yeah, I'm not saying, like, listen to what they're saying. I'm saying, like, do what you said and evaluate. Yeah. If they're saying these things and they're not supportive, figure out why. Is it because they're being petty, or is it because there's something that you should probably look at?
Exactly.
Who knows?
We also knew that Jordan flew from Missoula, Montana to California with her brother to record an original song for the first dance at their wedding. This bitch is extra. In hindsight, the lyrics are really scary. Quote, "Everyone wants a safe place to fall, and you're mine. You helped me climb higher for a better view. You're my safe place to fall. You never let me go.
And after knowing what happened to him.
Foreshadowing.
That's interesting. Stay tuned for what we're talking about.
Okay, so despite the warnings from Cody's friend, the duo ended up married on June 29th, 2013. Just days after their marriage, Jordan was already expressing regret. On July 1st, she texted her friend Kimberly Martinez, who, oh, also, by the way, was her maid of honor, and said, quote, "Totally just had a meltdown. I'm completely second-guessing everything. I don't know if this was the right thing to do. So much happened last night. I just don't know."
What happened?
I do not know. She also said, quote, "I've never cried this much in my entire life. I'm to the point of almost not wanting to live."
Okay. Didn't reports say that she also looked like she didn't want to get married on the day of her wedding?
Yeah, that she was just kind of like, oh, I'm here doing it or whatever.
Yeah, just like kind of spaced out, not even really with it.
She also texted Kimberly just days later, suggesting that her and Cody were arguing by saying, quote, "He has a temper."
So, he has a temper, or like you're saying that because you've done something already and you're trying to like set yourself up with an alibi?
Yeah, I don't know. It's sad either way. Then on July 7th, just 8 days after their wedding, she texted Kimberly once again saying that she is planning to talk to Cody about her wedding regrets, adding, quote, "But dead serious, if you don't hear from me at all tonight, something happened," end quote.
Okay, so like 8 days after.
Yeah.
So did an autopsy say what day he died?
Yeah, we know what day he died.
Okay.
Yeah, it was that day.
On the 8th.
The 8th day after their wedding.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so they've been married just over 1 week.
You did it. Good job.
Just get an annulment at that point. Just tell him. Be yeah, like, I right? don't, I'm like, unhappy, and just get an annulment.
And if it's been like a couple days after the wedding, and you said so much happened last night, like, I'm pretty sure you didn't consummate that marriage. So, like, annulled.
So Cody and Jordan decided to drive out to Glacier National Park to talk and for some sightseeing. They went to a spot called The Loop because it was, quote, "a place Cody wanted to see before he died."
Look at you fulfilling his wishes.
Yeah, and so from this point, all we know is Jordan's side of the story, and she's changed her story so much that it's kind of hard to know what's true. But one thing that we do know for certain is that at some point on the loop, Cody fell nearly 200 feet down the side of a cliff, landing in a shallow pool of water. Jordan then hiked out of the park and drove home, telling no one about Cody.
200 feet. I didn't know it was 200 feet. And
200
wasn't feet. She driving his car? It was his car that she drove home.
Believe so. Yeah. Whatever car they took to the park.
Yeah, it was his car.
And the next day, Cody was reported missing by his coworkers.
Because he didn't come to work? Why wouldn't she? Okay, come on. If you're like, okay, all right.
Well, she tries to cover it up by telling her friends and family that Cody had gone on an impromptu road trip with his friends. Who are these friends?
And she doesn't why know. Why didn't he apply for leave at work?
Yeah, and she doesn't know who the friends are. Obviously, his family's worried, so they also file a missing person report.
Mm.
So on July 10th, 2 days after Cody fell from this cliff, Jordan received an email from someone named Tony S.
Okay.
The email read, quote, "Hello, Jordan."
Hello, Jordan.
"My name is Tony. There is no bother looking for Cody anymore. He is gone. I saw your post on Twitter and thought I would email you. He had come up with some buddies and met up with me on Sunday night in Columbia Falls. He was saying he needed to be with his buddies for a bit and take them for a ride. Three of the guys came back saying they had gone for a ride in the woods, and Cody got out of the car and went for a little hike. They are positive he fell and he is dead, Jordan. I don't know who the guys were, but they took off. So call off the missing persons report. Cody is for sure gone."
Okay. None of that. Okay. you are obviously so far deep in your head, like, you have no idea what reality is. If any of that happened and you're trying to, like, push this off as real, that guy would have called the cops. He would have emailed you. How do you find your email?
And just, like, the verbiage. Like, it sounds like, you know, when, like, a middle schooler writes the note that's like, I am sick. I cannot go to school. That's exactly, Cody is gone for sure.
Who sounds like that? Call off the missing persons. Oh, okay, okay, because I can just call them off.
Yeah, he is for sure
I
gone.
I would help if I filed a missing persons report and I went up there and said, oh, it's fine. I know where he is. We're good. I would hope that the cops would go, well, we need to see this guy in person before we can close this case.
We have to confirm it.
Yeah, not them just go, okay.
Close. Okay, great, thank you.
Stamp. Sign right here.
Yeah, she's an idiot. Jordan and her mother then took the email to the police station and met with Detective Corey Clark, who took them back into one of the interview rooms. Jordan handed her phone to the detective, and he responded, quote, seems kind of sketchy.
Sure does. That is some excellent police work right there.
Great observation.
I mean, at least he came to that conclusion, though.
He then started asking the important questions when he asked Jordan if she knew who Tony S. was. To which she obviously said, no, she didn't know.
Why are you opening emails from a Tony S. that you don't know? I don't.
Oh, I open all my emails because I'm always interested, but I would immediately take it to the cops.
I look at it and go, what's your name? What are you from? Delete, delete, delete.
I read all mine. So I'm a really easy person to fish, but... when the detective then asked why she was so calm, Jordan responded that she did not like to show emotion in front of other people. Detective Clark then left the room, and a new detective, Melissa Smith, entered.
I feel like you just can't show emotion. I feel like she's got some sort of...
Yeah, she's a sociopath.
Yeah, a sociopath, that's it. Let's also keep in mind, she's 22.
Yeah, young.
Yeah.
The two detectives had been speaking about the inconsistencies of Jordan's story, so they asked to see her phone and any text messages from Corey. But Jordan said that her and her husband always erase their messages at the end of the day. Why, you ask? Why? Because one of the kids that she babysits likes to mess with her phone.
Okay, but keep a lock on your phone.
I know, yeah. But apparently these kids are so hard to control.
Yeah, it's why you put a lock on your phone. They can't get it.
Jordan soon left the police department, and immediately after, the police sent a subpoena to Google for any information regarding the Tony S. email address. Months later, they discovered... Oh, well, this is just like a little tip. Months later, they discovered that the account was created at an IP address linked to Jordan's parents' computer and was created on July 10th, which is, again, the morning Jordan received the email. So
wow,
she made
you really
it.
Did a bang up job there.
Killing
so
it.
So did it take that long to actually get the subpoena?
Subpoena, yeah. Like months? Until they were in the middle of her investigation, yes.
Why?
You can't just get that shit in a day.
Yeah, you can.
Oh, well, you have to have a warrant and all that, and right now all they have it, they don't have a warrant for any of
this. Oh, they didn't have a warrant?
No. They had to let it go. They're just like, okay, this is weird. They're just like, sketchy. So later that same day on July 10th, Jordan and her family organized a search party for Cody in Glacier Park. Jordan and her family approached the loop area, and Jordan reportedly got out of her car, wandering to the edge, telling her family that she wanted to go down to the bottom. Her brother said it was too dark and too dangerous, and the family ended up leaving. On July 11th, Jordan and her family again returned the park, this time to hang missing persons posters. They walked back to the loop, and Jordan began to climb down the wall, looking into the deep ravine. When her friends and family asked why she was so interested in the spot, she responded, quote, I just have a feeling.
I'll bet. I'll bet you do.
Yeah. I got a pretty good fucking feeling. So after a few minutes of looking, Jordan stopped and told her family that she'd spotted something. Her brother, Michael, quickly joined her, and they investigated the ravine. Nearly 200 feet below, Cody Johnson's body was lying face down in the water. On July 12th, the next day, Cody's body was recovered from the area and was positively identified. In the days following, a service was held for Cody, and during that time, some of Cody's friends noticed Jordan seemed fine and spent more time on her phone than actually mourning. Which I'm just kind of like, you can't really, like, you never know how you're going to react, but it is sketchy, okay?
Well, yeah, I mean, like, I'm not going to, okay, either way, no matter how I'm reacting, I'm not going to sit there on my phone just out of respect.
Yeah, simply out of respect, yeah, I would just sit there. And they were not the only suspicious people. The FBI opened a full investigation into Cody's death, and they discovered that Glacier National Park had security cameras.
Oh, boy.
The footage revealed that at 9:17 p.m. on July 7th, Jordan and Cody were seen walking into the park together, with only Jordan later leaving.
Well...
So on July 16th, Jordan was then brought in for questioning once again, and she told the FBI that Cody had gone to Glacier Park on his own. And then she told him that Cody gone to Glacier Park with these unknown friends. Then she said that she didn't even know if he went to Glacier Park, completely changing her story. So it's like, if you didn't know that he went to Glacier Park, why did you have such a feeling about that ravine?
Yeah. Okay. You're getting that feeling, but nobody else is?
Yeah.
Really? Really.
The FBI agent, whose name was Stacy, told her to stop, saying that the FBI was aware that Jordan was lying, and they knew she was in Glacier Park the night Cody died. Mm-hmm. The FBI agent showed Jordan the footage of her leaving the park, and she immediately began crying.
Well, don't cry now.
Yeah, don't cry now. You were fine a couple weeks ago at the funeral services. Like, come on. Yeah,
you're good.
She then explained that, yes, they went to Glacier Park because she was going to tell Cody about her regrets on marrying him. Remember, this is all according to Jordan. We don't know actually what happened. Mm-hmm. The couple began to argue, and Cody grabbed her arm. Jordan then acknowledges that at this point, she could have and should have just walked away, but she didn't. Instead, she rotated both of their bodies so that Cody was looking at the cliff's edge, placed two hands on his back, and shoved him off the nearly 200-foot cliff. That same day, Jordan was taken into custody and charged with the murder of her husband, Cody Johnson.
You're strong enough to switch both of your bodies and push him off a cliff when he's angry like that, according to you?
Okay. At the trial, she showed almost zero emotions and was described as cold and dispassionate. She was often seen smirking in the paparazzi photos, which, like, obviously doesn't look good. More than 30 witnesses took the stand against her, including that best friend and maid of honor. During the trial, Jordan actually shocked the court by pleading guilty to second-degree murder, likely in the hopes of receiving a lesser sentence. For second-degree in Montana, it was only 10 years, but the judge actually decided to throw the book at her and gave her the maximum time allowed, which was 30 years. Unsurprisingly, when Jordan learned it was going to be 30 years, she attempted to withdraw her guilty plea. But the judge said, nah. Also, Jordan was instructed to pay only $17,000 to Cody's family for restitution.
Didn't they find... I thought he was blindfolded.
So there's like some... I didn't add that because I could only find it in some sources. And it was just that a piece of fabric was like underneath his body that could have acted as a blindfold. And even like some of the reports were like... There's no way to determine if he was. Like, it could have just been there and he landed on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the only reason why I left that out.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Because I was like, didn't you just blindfold him and kick him off the cliff?
Well, I mean, possibly.
She might have, yeah.
Yeah. But that is the murder of Cody Johnson, which is a short and sweet episode for me this week.
I assume he died instantly.
I would assume. There's no way to know, though, since his body wasn't found till days later, but falling 200 feet, and they were like, he landed on his, like, landed on his head.
Oh, instant, then.
Yeah, he probably died instantly.
He landed on his head?
Yeah. Like, that means she, like, pushed him, like, so hard that he, like, that makes me believe that he was
blindfolded, yeah.
Yeah, that he could have been blindfolded. But yeah, I was like, damn.
fucking annoying with your tiny dick cars over here. Well, anyway, that was a great one.
Yeah, Sam.
She should have never gotten married.
No, just file for an annulment, people. Just don't kill your spouse. Get
married if you don't want to marry the guy, okay? You obviously didn't want to marry him the day of. Just go. And if you're too scared to tell somebody, run away.
Just,
have so many movies about runaway brides. I don't know. It's just crazy to me. Just tell them you don't want to get married. You can say no. Just you're break allowed. Up. Yeah.
You're allowed to do whatever the fuck you want to do.
Yeah. I mean, you probably shouldn't push them off a cliff, though, but...
Yeah.
Welcome to America. Well, you can do that, but you will not. You will serve time. Okay, well, my couple is Erica and BJ Seifert. Seifert? I don't know how you say it.
I don't recognize this one by the names.
I have... Most people say Seifert.
Is it?
I just want to say Seifert.
I used
Seifert.
Yeah, I used to know someone whose last name was Seifert and it was spelled like that.
Oh, is it Seifert? Okay, well, then we'll call it Seifert.
Who knows?
Erica was born on February 3rd, 1978. She was an honor student and a basketball star at Mary Washington College.
Basketball, woo-woo!
Yeah, and this is in Maryland.
Huh.
BJ, Benjamin, but he goes by BJ,
horrible.
Was born on October 21st, 1977. He attended BUDS training, which is basic underwater demolition or SEAL training.
Yeah, I was like, BUDS, what the fuck? And then I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. He did that in 1997. He was actually the top honor graduate in his training class. Like, the top. It's fucking hard to do.
Yeah. It's hard to even pass that, let alone be number one.
Yeah. He never received a SEAL status before being discharged from the military, though. And he was eventually dishonorably discharged because he had multiple AWOLs, which I think is because of Erica. Poor performance, insubordination, and he was wearing an unauthorized insignia, most likely the swastika he had tattooed on his chest.
Oh my.
Real stand-up guy here.
Wow.
Well, he was until he met Erica. Personal opinion.
Jeez.
I know your dick is small, but, like, lay off the gas and shift your car. Oh, God. Anyway, the two were married in 1998. They were both 20 at the time. And then the couple moved near Erica's family in Altoona, which is Pennsylvania, and opened a scrapbooking store because Erica was into scrapbooking.
Wait, I do know these people.
Yeah, I know.
Altoona. Okay, two horrible names now in this story.
Yep. They ended up divorcing in 2010 because BJ filed for divorce while they were in prison. It was quickly granted. Okay, so this incident occurred May 25th, 2002, Memorial Day weekend, in Ocean City, Maryland. Martha Jeannie Crutchley and Joshua Ford are the two victims. They were a couple from Fairfax, Virginia, and they were vacationing in Ocean City for Memorial Day.
Oh.
They met the Seiferts at a nightclub where they hung out. They were, like, having a good time. And then after the nightclub, the Seiferts invited the couple back to their condo at Rainbow Condominiums.
Well, that's cute.
Yeah. Apparently, these condos were owned by, like, a family friend of the Seiferts. So I'm pretty sure they were, like, staying there for free.
I'm sorry. What year was this again?
2002 okay. is when the murders occurred.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
So after they went back to the condo, they kept partying, and then eventually Erica just kind of snapped because she couldn't find her purse. Yeah. And then she accused Jeannie of stealing it. And the couple was like, no, we didn't steal it.
Yeah.
We don't have your purse. I don't know where it is. So then Erica was upset, and she told BJ to do something about it. So BJ does. He pulls out a gun.
What?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Bitch can't find her purse. He pulls out a gun. Erica's gun, by the way. And then he forced the couple to strip. Because, like, what? They're hiding a purse under their clothes?
Yeah.
I don't know. The couple fled to the bathroom and locked the door. And Joshua was shot a total of 4 times. And Jeannie is believed to have been stabbed, but the official cause of death cannot be determined by her remains.
What? Stabbed to death? Oh, yeah. Didn't they, like, break down the door and the two people,
I don't know.
BJ and...
I think he shot through the door. Yeah. Or one of them shot through the door. And then, yeah, after they got in, they think that they stabbed Jeannie.
Fucking monsters.
Erica kept a pocket knife on her. It's in a bunch of her pictures on vacation. Which, I mean, a lot of people do.
Yeah, that's not unusual, but most people aren't stabbing others with them.
She kept a pocket knife on her. She had a gun. Like, they had a gun, which is also not an odd thing to have. Like, people go on vacation, they have a pocket knife, and they have a gun. Like, it's normal people... self-defense, safety.
Yeah.
Right? They're not going to use it unless they have to. Either way, alone, not abnormal.
Mm-hmm.
Together with their personalities, fucking deadly.
Yeah.
So the couple's bodies were then dismembered, put into a grocery store dumpster, and then the dumpster was... the remains were relocated to a landfill in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware.
That's far, right?
Same way.
Well, it's a different state.
Yeah, it's a different state. I think it's on the line.
Oh, it might not be that far then.
Okay, Rehoboth, Delaware. Click the right thing, dummy. And then directions from Ocean City, Maryland.
I guess.
So it's an hour from Maryland. So maybe they went into Delaware state lines and dumped it.
Yeah, that'd make more sense. I guess both those states are tiny.
Mm-hmm.
Huh, still.
And it's like, it's right along the coast. If you just go right along the coast all the way up. Yeah. 9 days later, the couple's bodies were found by a search party. And that's how they died. There's also allegations that, well, according to Erica and some of her statements, she said that BJ wanted her to take pictures of him holding the couple's heads.
What?
Yeah. But she claimed she refused. They also kept their IDs and social security cards in Erica's purse, which, by the way, they found.
I mean, I shouldn't laugh at that, but, like, come well, on, yeah. You idiots.
But also, she had 4 empty shell casings and 1 live round in her purse as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's also important to note that Erica had a major, major pill problem. She was taking Xanax all the time.
Yeah.
All day. Every day, multiple times a day, and drinking all day long with them.
Which,
and I think,
not supposed to do that.
Yep. And she was just friggin' doped up on this shit. I think she had a second pill too. Maybe it's Adderall, Xanax and Adderall. I don't know. Pretty sure you're not supposed to mix those.
No, because one's a downer, one's an upper, I believe. Right?
Yeah. Xanax is a downer. And Adderall has to be an upper because it's what people take to keep themselves awake.
Yeah. Got a big test
good
coming up.
Combination. So there is a lady named Melissa Sealing who, a few days after this couple was killed, Jeannie and Joshua, Melissa was invited back to the condo. I think her boyfriend was too, but it's like conflicting reports. So one left him out and the other one didn't. I don't know. So at least Melissa went back to the Seifert's condo. And then apparently the whole where's my purse bit began again.
Oh.
So this makes people think that it was like either BJ hid her purse to rile her up because she's on all these freaking pills and she's emotionally unstable, or they're both in on it. He hid it and then it's like a whole bit. Ooh, you stole my shit.
Yeah.
I'm going to murder you.
Like, that makes more sense to me.
Yep. Melissa actually ended up being able to calm BJ down after he pulled the gun on her, and then she and her boyfriend, or just her, they left. So they made it out.
That's terrifying.
Oh, yeah. On May 31st, 2002, the Seiferts were arrested while they were burglarizing a Hooters. Why? Because Erica really likes Hooters merch. When I was reading this, I was like, bitch, there's Etsy.
Yeah, really. Or the Hooters merch store.
But in 2002, Etsy was not a thing. Oh. Etsy came around in 2005. I researched that. So she just barely missed it. If she could have held out 3 more years, she would have been fine.
Yeah.
Didn't have to murder anybody.
Okay, Hooters have good wings, though. I like their food.
Their wings are tiny. They're like...
I like them.
Eyeball size.
They are tiny, but I think that they're good.
I'd have to eat it again just to see. Like, maybe their boneless wings are pretty good.
And then the other one, Twin Peaks, it is like that has good food, too.
I haven't eaten there.
It's in St. Louis. It's like a Hooters, just different food.
Yeah, I just haven't eaten there. Okay, so... While they're being arrested, at one point, Erica said, can't we just put the stuff back and you let us go?
Mm-hmm. What a dumbass.
Probably exactly in that voice. But can't we just put it back and you let us go? No, bitch. We can't.
Wow.
This is not the first time that they've robbed a Hooters, by the way. It's like time number 80, probably.
No.
Because she wants a tank top.
No.
That you can't fucking buy anywhere, apparently. Apparently you couldn't buy them at the time. I don't know. I don't give a shit. Who fucking wants Hooters merch that bad? Anyway, so during their arrest and after her dumbass comment, she, I guess, began having some kind of weird attack. And she was like, can I get my medicine from my purse? Idiot.
Yeah.
That's where all the shit is.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's where all our evidence is.
Shell casings, live rounds, social security cards, ID cards. Also, she was wearing Joshua's ring around her neck.
Yeah, I was gonna
a necklace. Still had blood in it.
I was gonna ask you about that. That was like the big thing I remember is that she wore that guy's ring.
She claims in one of her statements that she had to do it because BJ wanted her to, and he has like this control over her or whatever. She's full of shit.
Yeah, not like any of this.
So. The police go to get her medicine out of her purse, find all of this shit from these missing persons because they had already been missing for a few days now and been reported missing by their work because Jeannie was completely punctual and didn't show up for work after the holiday. So they called down to the city where they were because these guys are from Fairfax, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Her coworkers and friends called down there and filed a police report in Ocean City.
Good. Those are good coworkers.
Yeah. So, the missing persons had already been out for a few days. And here's the social security card. Erica claims she found them on the beach. You find the live ammo on the beach, too?
And his ring.
And the spent rounds.
Yeah, she's stupid.
She's real smart. She's very Xanax smart. So, Erica confessed to the murders, but told the investigators that it was BJ's idea. And then she also tried to say that he had complete control over her and that she was too scared not to do what he wanted.
Oh, sure, honey.
Says the girl who was so attached to her husband at the time, she forced him to go AWOL from SEAL training.
Yeah.
The top honor student in the Bud School.
That's really... I want to say it's really sad because he obviously had a lot of promise, but I'm also like, what a dumbass.
Well, yeah, like, how can you let yourself be manipulated like that.
Yeah.
He had such a, like, huge goal in mind for his life, and he was so dedicated to it, and then she just came right in and derailed it.
Yeah.
Not all her fault, like, he let it happen, but... Yeah, I think if he stuck to his guns and, like, didn't go out with her or marry her. Because at the time, like, when they met, he was not interested in having a girlfriend because he was focused on SEAL training.
Yeah, imagine if they would have never met all these people while the couple would have lived.
Yeah.
And the Hooters wouldn't have been robbed, most importantly.
The Hooters would have been robbed. She would have done that herself. She's so obsessed with Hooters. I feel like she would have just found somebody else.
Yeah. Manipulated someone else.
I feel like a murder would have happened with her no matter what.
That's sad.
That's my opinion. Anyway, Erica... Okay, both of them were convicted in 2003. Erica was sentenced to life in prison plus 20 years.
Good.
She got first-degree murder for Joshua Ford and second-degree murder for Jeannie Crutchley. She exhausted her final appeal in 2012, and it was denied and dismissed with prejudice.
Woo, woo.
She tried to say that her defense lawyer did not give her an adequate defense and that he should have went into her mental health history, which he did, by the way. And the judge was like, no, he gave you a proper defense, and nothing that you're saying would have changed the outcome.
See you never.
Yeah. She's actually eligible for parole in 2024.
Oh, man.
She will probably get denied. She got life plus 20 years. They're not going to let her out.
I don't know. She's low risk.
How is dismembering two people low risk?
Just depends
on... In a condo.
Depends on how old you are and all of your mitigating factors.
She's in her 30s.
Yeah, she probably... Right now, she is.
Mm-hmm. 30, maybe she'll be in her 40s by the time 2024, because she was born in 1978.
She should be older than that, 50. Right? No,
in 2024, she'll be 49. Nah, I don't think they're going to let her out.
I think she'll be denied. If she's not already out now, because COVID. But I still think that she's too much of a risk.
Why would she be out because of COVID? Because
they release all a bunch of low risk.
She's not low risk. First degree and second degree murder. That's not
low risk. Tons of first degree murderers.
Life was 20.
Tons of them got out.
Life was no.
Tons of them got out.
This happened in 2002. When did theirs happen?
Tons of them got out.
That's bullshit. Are you kidding me?
I'm a firm believer in letting out low risk offenders, but I don't think people.
First degree murder is low risk?
No, I don't agree with that. I've said.
Okay.
Yeah.
You better let everybody out for a fucking marijuana charge. Why? Are people still in jail for marijuana?
Of course. Why do you ask? Of course.
Then why haven't we let them out for the COVID low risk?
Girl, I don't have all the answers. I wish I did.
Ah, I'm done with it. Stop it. This is bullshit.
Welcome to the American justice system.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
BJ was sentenced to 38 years for second degree murder and first degree assault, both of them for Jeannie Crutchley. He is eligible for parole in 2021.
Oh, God.
His final appeal was exhausted in 2010 and was denied. So I'm confused, though, because... In the reports that I read, it was BJ that shot Josh.
Yeah. They probably couldn't prove it.
So, I guess they couldn't prove it because it was Erica's gun.
Yeah, and Erica had the casings on her, so.
Yeah, and then the knife was also Erica's. And then, I don't know, I guess they took into account, like, the history, like, how he acted before he met Erica, and, like, I don't know.
But they didn't convict him on anything with Joshua.
Nothing for Josh, but something, like, both of them were for Jeannie. And Jeannie was supposedly, probably, murdered with a knife, which was Erica's knife that she had on her at all times. So I don't understand how they got him on Jeannie and not Josh.
Yeah, I don't know. That was weird.
Like, I understand how they get Erica on both, mm-hmm. but with the logic that, oh, it's Erica's gun...
Yeah, and she had the shell casings. They could get her for Josh, but I don't understand how they don't get BJ for Josh.
Like, I thought the assault or something would be for Josh, but no, they were both for Jeannie. Maybe it's because he dismembered them, but He dismembered both, right?
Yeah, I think that'd be like mutilation of a corpse.
Yeah.
That's weird.
I'm confused.
Yeah, that's weird. Good defense lawyer.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, because they were tried separately and in different locations because of how public their case was at the time. They had to be moved outside of the area for their trials. So, yeah, he was charged and convicted first. And then after he was convicted, Erica's trial began.
It's weird.
Yeah, so they were tried separately. But yeah, he got 38 years.
Do you know when he goes up in front of the board, the parole board? They'll deny him. I mean, typically they deny like the first time.
No, I tried to see if he was gonna get out. The last thing that when you search for it, the last thing is from like 2017.
Hmm.
And it's just a book that says, please never let the Seifertz out. Seifertz, whatever.
Maybe with COVID, his, parole appearance got pushed, too. Because a bunch of stuff got pushed to the right.
Yeah, there's no information past when they said he's eligible in 2021.
Well, they'll get denied their first time, surely. I mean, I'd deny him.
Yeah, I would too. But that is the case of Erica and BJ Seifert.
In the episode of Toxic Couples.
Oh, yeah. So, don't murder.
Don't murder and send us some messages. We'll be back next week with the paranormal episode.
Ooh. Haunted bodies of water.
Yep. Bye.
Bye.